And today we're going to continue in our series, The Father. Who is the Father? Turn to your neighbor and say, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? We're learning who our Father is. Who our Father is. And this is such a critical time in our church as we're continuing to lay the foundation in our lives for understanding that He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And this is the last part of the Trinity series that we're doing right now entitled, Who is the Father? Pastor Matt did a great job the first couple of weeks of talking about the names of the Father. And the last couple of weeks I've been spending talking about the attributes of the Father. We talked about the goodness of God. Last week we talked about the justice and mercy. How many are glad that God is fully justice but also fully mercy? If you missed that message, go back online, pull that up, listen to that. You'll see where Scripture teaches that God is full of justice on one hand, but yet He's full of mercy, and how the two coincide together to perform and do with the act that God has in our life. I think it's just an awesome, awesome revelation. We understand it. Today I want to talk to you about love. The Father is love. The Father is love. There's a lot of misconceptions about love out there, isn't there? A lot of things about love we need to realize and understand. And we're going to get into that today. I believe that you must understand the Father is love. God is love. Matter of fact, let's read our text here, 1 John. We know that John's gospel was written by John the Beloved, correct? The disciple John the Beloved. But who wrote 1 John and 2 John? John. There you go. Wasn't a trick question. Just making sure you're paying attention. John the Beloved wrote John's gospels. He also wrote the Gospel of John, and he was writing his gospels. He was at a time where the other disciples have already been martyred, had already been died because they were crucified as followers of Jesus. And he wasn't really in hiding, so to say. He wasn't living under a different identity, but he just kind of fit in the crowd. He wasn't necessarily standing out. He wasn't waving the banner, hey, I'm John, the lost disciple. So he was kind of in this mode, and he was in this teaching that was going on, and as he was there, he was hearing people teach about God. They were trying to explain about Jesus, but they were getting things second, third, and fourth, and fifth hand. And you know how it is, ladies, when things get passed on from person to person. I'm just picking on you, just ones that are right. You know how things get passed on from story to story? It kind of gets twisted just a little bit. And so he was noticing that the theology they were teaching was being skewed. It wasn't actually being taught correctly. So finally, John's like, enough. I got to tell you, I'm John. I'm John the Beloved, and I walk with Jesus. And let me tell you exactly where the gospel is found. Let me tell you exactly what Jesus was meaning about the gospel. And he wrote these letters to him. And I want to pick it up here in John, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 12. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is what? Of God. Love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He does not love does not know God. For God is what? God is love. God is love. It didn't say God has love. It didn't say God was lovable. It says God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Now stay with me. Let's keep reading. In this love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the atonement, the sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, as God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. There's the tricky part, isn't it? No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. Let's skip to verse 16 here. Verses 16 through 21 say, and we have known and believed that the love that God has for us. Again, it tells us what? That God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God. And God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have the boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is what? No fear in love. We can replace that word, if God is love, then we say, there is no fear in God. But perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And so we just last part. If someone says, I love God. All right, how many say, I love God? Anybody here want to raise your hands? I love God. If someone says, I love God, but they hate his brother, he's a liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire. This is what he's saying to us. How many know when we get, I don't like being called a liar. I really, it just kind of stokes my coals. You know what I'm talking about? Those are fighting words. Someone calls you a liar, and you're like, oh, that's really gets down to your spirit. That's it, what the scripture's saying to you and I. He's saying, Christians, if you call yourself a Christian, you love God, but you don't love your brother, you're a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love a God whom he's not seen? And this is the commandment. Everybody say commandment. Just remember that. And this commandment that we have from him, that he who loves God must also love his brother. Must also love his brother. So if God is love, we must understand love. There's a lot of misconceptions out there about love. And this is really important for us to realize. There's a lot of misconceptions out there about love. And if you have misconceptions about love and God is love, then I would venture to tell you this, that there's a lot of Christians and a lot of people in the world who have misconceptions about God. Because if you don't understand love, you cannot understand the Father. And so many of us, we got a skewed vision of love. And we got what we think is really love, but it's not the biblical definition of love. It's not the way the Father is intended for us to love. We must understand love if we're going to understand the Father. And so we're going to dig into this word love today and really see what the Word of God has to say about love. Number one, love is a choice. How many know it's more than a feeling? Love is more than a feeling. And I just tell you, that just goes against every theology we was ever taught in the 80s. It really does, doesn't it? Everything we heard, every love song I heard about the 80s, it was all about feelings. I can't fight this feeling any longer. I mean, everything we had to do about feelings. Love has to do with feelings, and I love you because I feel this way, and I can't control my love. I can't control my feelings. And it's such a skewed definition of love. We really got to realize, according to what the Word of God says, that love is a choice. Hollywood teaches us really what we learn about love. Isn't that true? Probably, I would venture to say 80% of what we learn from love, really, our ideas about love, come from the movies. They come from Hollywood. They come from what we see in articles and what we see in headlines and TV. I mean, they really paint a picture of love, especially at an early age. I was reminded as I was thinking about this of a clip I saw on YouTube about an interview that Conan O'Brien did with Will Ferrell the other day. And in this, he was, let me set it up for you. He was actually talking to Will Ferrell, who was comically obviously acting like he was broken up about the love spat going on with two movie stars in Hollywood. And of course, I know if you've been around, if you know anything at all, the Twilight series has been really big the last couple of years, and the books, and the movie. I'm not endorsing any of that, but I'm just telling you, you know, the really big culture, especially in the young people and moms. Like, anyway, they're really going to see these movies. And the whole movie's about a love story between a teenage girl having to pick between this guy she loves who's a werewolf or a guy she loves who's a vampire. And so, you know, it's a good versus evil type of thing. Who's going to win out? It's a big love story. It's not really have as much to do about the other stuff as much as about a love story. And so it's a really sappy thing. But anyway, these two stars of the movie have fallen in love. They've been dating. They've been committed to each other. But if you read the headlines lately, they've been having a little spat going on. And so Will Ferrell, matter of fact, I'll quit this video. Let's see what Will really wraps up. I think it really defines Hollywood and the love.
I'm sorry. Is something wrong, Will? You seem upset.
I'm okay. I don't want to talk about it.
I've known you a long time. I've never seen you like this. What's the problem?
Well, I don't know if you follow the news at all, but there's this actress, Kristen Stewart, okay? And she goes by K-Stew. And
she goes by K-Stew?
Yeah, and she had a boyfriend, right? And Robert Patterson, and he's our pass. And
he's, okay.
And she cheated on him.
And what's...
And they're broken up. They're not gonna get back together ever.
I'm sorry.
And what they had was so special, Conan. You don't even know what they had. They were in love. And she just threw it all away.
Okay.
I don't know if there was anything I could have done to prevent it. Or
I don't know what it means to the Twilight franchise. I just don't know.
I'm sure it's going to be fine.
It's not going to be fine, ever. Never going to be fine. What they had was so special, you don't even know. You would never know.
What do you mean I'd never know? I've been in love.
Oh, not like them. Not like them.
Never seen you.
She is a trampire. That's what she is.
That's horrible.
That's so funny, but really, you know, isn't that so true? Everybody gets their view of love from Hollywood. And Hollywood says this, that, you know, you just go with the person you love. But how many know if you believe love's a feeling, and then when you fall out of love with somebody, and you just think it's okay to go love somebody else? It's okay to fall down the road. Oh, I've fallen out of love with my spouse. I've fallen out of love. I don't want to love this person. I'll find somebody else to love. And that's not the true definition of love, because love is a choice. Let me say it again. This is going to mess with your head. But love is a choice. Well, yeah, but what about those feelings I had? Oh, yeah, love can produce feelings. You can have butterflies. And, man, you can be doing somersaults and all that stuff in your mind. But you have to choose to want to love. You got to choose to stay in love, because your feelings will change. Scripture teaches us that our feelings go up and down like the waves of the sea. One day they're up, one day they're down. And if you love according to feelings, then you're going to have a horrible marriage. You're going to have a horrible relationship with people because your feelings will change. I mean, how many of us, let's be honest, we don't always feel like loving God. We don't always feel like doing the right thing, but because we know I must choose to love the Lord. I must choose. I gotta get out of bed on Sunday morning. I gotta be here, even when I'd rather sleep in sometimes. I've gotta choose to do that. That when I get here, my feelings begin to change once I'm here. I'm glad I'm here. I'm encouraged because I'm here. But if I just went off my feelings, I would set the snooze button and not come. Sometimes that would happen, wouldn't it? Because my feelings go up, my feelings go down. Love is not based on feelings. Love is based on choice. Look at Matthew 22:36. Let's back up what I'm saying with the scripture. Verses 36 through 39 of Matthew 22, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Look what Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all of your soul, all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. Then he says that the second greatest command is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Why would Jesus command us to love if it was based on feelings? He commands us to love because it's based on a choice. I can choose to love you no matter what. I can choose to love no matter what. I can choose to operate in love, even when I don't feel like it. Jesus commands us to love. Again, he backs it up in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ has also loved the church and gave himself for her. Jesus commands us to love. He commands us to love others. He commands us to love our spouse. Love is a choice. Well, Pastor, I just don't love her anymore. We've grown out of love. Pastor, I just don't love him no more. We just have grown apart, and I don't love him anymore. I've really just grown out of love. We don't love anymore. I can't help it. When you look that up in, actually, that definition up in the original Greek and Hebrew, it actually comes out to the phrase balana. You ever heard that word for balana? It's actually English for baloney. You choose to fall out of love. You can choose to stay in love. You can choose to love even when it's hard. It's a hard choice, isn't it? But sometimes we do it anyway. That's what love is. Love is loving when it isn't easy. That's what love is, loving when someone's unlovable and you love them anyway. When you choose to love someone, you invest your time. You invest your energy. You invest your resources. Remember when you was in high school or college and you got that first sweetheart you were dating? I mean, you work all week and blow it on a date on Friday night. I mean, you work all those hours all week and you blow your whole paycheck on Friday night. Why? Because you're in love. And you didn't care about investing. You didn't care if you blew your whole paycheck all week. I mean, you'd be eating college, be eating crackers and Spam and ramen noodles, trying to get by, making sugar water and ketchup sandwiches, just anything to get by. But you'll squeeze enough money to take some girl out to eat and to a movie when you don't have the money. Why? Because you're in love. I'm in love. And you, why? I invest. Anybody else wants to do it? No, I can't go. I got to study. Oh, I got to study all night, and then I got to get home, get sleep. I got tests in the morning. When you're in college, what do? You study, and then you talk on the phone until 6 o'clock in the morning. Why? Because I'm in love. Who needs sleep when you're in love? Love's a choice. It's an investment. I mean, think about it. In our own life, when we love our children, we invest in them, don't we? We love our children. We invest in them. We spend money we don't really have many times just because we love them. We spoil them rotten many times, and we know it. You know what I'm saying? You think, well, they probably shouldn't get this, but because we love them, we end up doing things beyond what we probably should do. I've never met a parent who didn't really love their kids, who didn't really try sometimes to go beyond and even stretch their budget. The parent will go without, so the kid has. Why? Because we love. We invest our time, our energy, our love, and finances into our children because we love them. I mean, grandparents, I'll tell you the truth. My parents love my kids more than they love me. Very evident. Very evident. My dad was so tight growing up that he squeaked when he walked. I had to pay for my own meals after church on Sunday. I mean, talking about tight. My kids go there. They get everything they want. Did I get an Atari growing up when I wanted an Atari? No. I had to go to the neighbors and play Atari. My kids come home with Wii's, PlayStations. I'm like, who are you people? I did not know who you are. My dad barely let me drive his old beat-up work truck when I was 16. My kids are driving my dad's brand-new truck at 13. I'm like, who are you? I do not know you. Every birthday and every Christmas and every Valentine's Day, they get a savings bond. I'm like, I never got one savings bond. Who are you people? But they love their grandchildren, and they do things, and they stretch for them. You know, it's what we put our time and investment to is what we love. And it shows that we love them. Because why? Because love is a choice. We choose to invest. We choose to give, even when people don't deserve it. Because it brings us to our second point, which is love is unselfish. It really is. Love is unselfish. I'm going to read a scripture for you. I believe is probably, besides the Gospels, the most important scripture in the New Testament. The most important passage in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14, we see where Paul's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. He's talking about speaking in tongues. When you should speak in tongues, when you shouldn't speak in tongues. When you should pray in English, when you should. He talks about the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit that's going on. And right sandwiched in between all this, he gives us a statement I believe is probably the most powerful statement to the New Testament church. I love what it says here. See if it doesn't slap us upside the head today. Let's read it. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8. Though I speak with the tongues of men of angels, but I don't have love, I become like a sounding brass, a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove the mountains, but I have not love, look what he says, I am nothing. He says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love. Love. Love is unselfish. If love is unselfish, then God is unselfish. God is love. This is just a strong, strong verse here, isn't it? He's saying, man, you can be the most spiritual person in the world you think you are. You can speak in tongues all day. You can prophesy all day. You can interpret all day. You can have the wisdom of the ages all day. But if you don't love, you have nothing. I think sometimes as a church, we all fall in this category. Sometimes we feel like we've come so spiritually mature, but we've forgotten that still the most important thing we're called to do is called to love. I'm called to love, and love is a choice, a command that God has given us to make. For God so loved the world that he what? That he gave. Unselfishly, he gave his son to die for us. Well, Pastor, I've been giving love for years. I've been giving love for years, and I ain't getting nothing back in return. I don't get anything back in return. And let me ask you this question. Are you really giving love? Because according to Scripture, it says that love is what? Love expects no return. So if you're giving love, expecting love back, then are you really giving love? Because when you give true love, you don't expect anything back. Yes, we're human. We all like love back. We all like affirmation. Those things are all needed in our life. But true love chooses to love even when that person doesn't give it back. True love chooses to love even when you don't get anything back in return. I'm going to love this person even though they do me wrong. I can't do that, Pastor, because I just can't operate that way. I would never, ever, ever do somebody that way. I would never not return the love someone gave to me. Oh, really? So you're telling me you've been a Christian all your life? You never made any mistakes in your life? Because I believe all of us at one point didn't accept the love of God. All of us here have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us here have sin in our life, and we've all walked times away from God. And even though we rejected him, Christ died for you and I. Even though we did not accept his love, he loved us anyway. When nobody else would love me, Christ loved me. When nobody else would forgive me, Christ forgave me. He loved me beyond my ability to love him back. And he didn't look for my love back. He gave me love 100%. So don't tell me that you've never done that before. Matter of fact, when you feel that love that you give out in his return, maybe you can realize this is what the Father probably felt when I didn't love him back. Maybe you understand where the way he loves you and I. Unconditional. He loves us. He loves us. Let's keep reading in John 15, verse 13. Look what it says. Greater love has no one than this, that what? He may lay down one's life for his friends. Love dies for others. Love dies for others. True love is a choice. It's not a feeling. And it's unselfish. It's unselfish. It lays down its life. Let me tell you this, that if you ever want to have a successful marriage or relationship, you've got to die to yourself. Because when you come into your marriage and you don't die to yourself, then you're going to be selfish and your marriage is going to suffer. Those people who have been married a long time and have learned over time to die to themselves, you can say amen to that. You can testify knowing that really the only way to have a healthy, great marriage is when both spouses learn to die to themselves. And say, I'll lay down my life for you. And she says, I will lay down my life for you as well. How can I make your life better? How can I make your life? How can I serve you? How can I serve you? When one person doesn't do that, we have problems in our marriage. So it takes both laying down our life. That's what true love is. True love is about laying down your life, getting rid of my selfish desires, loving beyond who I am. Which brings us to our last point. Love is unconditional. Love is unconditional. How many are glad that God's love is unconditional in our life? Isn't that a great thing? It's unconditional. Parents, we should never, ever tell our children that if you do this, I will not love you. We never put conditions on our love to our children. Never say, if you do this, I won't love you. What you should say is, if you do this, I'm going to take you in the next room and show you just how much I love you. That's a better thing. But never tell our kids that our love for them is based on condition. Because love is not based on condition. There's nothing my children could ever do that would cause me not to love them. My love for them is unconditional. Can they disappoint me? Yeah. But can they change my love? No. I will always love them. My love for them is so unconditional. And that's the way the Father's love is even more in our life. It's unconditional. Romans 8:35 backs us up. Verse 35, and then we'll skip to verse 38 and 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is love, and he loves you unconditional, which means this, that you can never do anything that caused God to love you anymore. Do you realize, I don't care how good you think you are, I don't care how much work you try to do, you can never change the fact that God loves you, and he's never going to love you more than he loves you right now. And the opposite is also true, that God will never love you any less than he loves you right now. Even when you disappoint him, even when you fail him, his love for you is unconditional. His love for me is unconditional. God's love does not change in my life. I don't earn it. I don't deserve it. I receive it from him freely. He gave it to me even when I didn't love him back. He gave it to me when I ran from him. He gave it to me when I rejected him. He gave it to me when I let him down. He gave it to me when I broke my promise. He gave it to me when I blew it and made mistakes in my life. He gave me unconditional love. The Father's love for my life is unconditional. We've got to let this sink into our heart. God's love is unconditional. You don't earn it. Quit trying to earn the Father's love. Some of you are already in that mindset because as children, teenagers, even adults, you've somehow been trying to earn the love of a parent. And it seems like the harder you try, the more you feel like it's not happening. And so it can translate and roll over into our own life where we feel like we got to earn God's love. I got to earn God's love. I got to earn God's love. We got to realize we don't earn God's love. It's an unconditional love that he gave us love on the cross. He gave his son Jesus while we were yet sinners. Christ died, gave you and I life. His love is unconditional. Many people need to hear this today. God loves you. God loves you. Let me say again. Many people today need to hear this. God loves you. I believe everyone here, you hear this. And I believe everyone here, you understand it, that God loves you. You've heard that said before. But I believe the real problem is this. We have people in this room who don't believe it. You know it. You understand it. You hear it. But you don't really believe that God loves you. Because somewhere inside, you felt like no one could ever love you. Because of the pain of your upbringing. Because of the dysfunction of your home growing up. Because of dysfunction of parents who were there or not there. Maybe because of abuse, whatever reason, you have felt like, Pastor, I know God loves me, but I have to be honest and tell you that really, I don't feel like God really loves me. I have felt so unlovable all my life that I have a hard time accepting this unconditional love for the Father. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. As we bow our heads, I just want to ask you this question before we go any further today. So, Pastor, you're talking about God's love. You're talking about receiving Jesus' love in our life. And today, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Nobody's looking around but me, and I will not embarrass you. I won't embarrass you one bit this morning. I want to give you a chance to respond. If you're here, you say, Pastor, I need to pray a prayer asking Jesus Christ into my life, into my heart. I need to accept the Father, accept the Son, Jesus. I've never prayed that prayer before, and today I want to pray that prayer. Or maybe you prayed that prayer a long time ago, and today you say, Pastor, I really need to come back. I haven't served God in a long time, and today I want to come back and renew that commitment I made to him. If that's you today, no one's looking around but me, but can you raise your hand? That's me, Pastor. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? That's me, Pastor. I'm ready to accept today Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You want to join these? I'm not going to ask a long time. I'm going to ask one more time. That's it. Today, if you haven't raised your hand yet and you want to accept Jesus Christ, raise your hand right now. That's me, Pastor. I'm ready to accept Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to say this prayer together. As Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you, and especially those who raised your hands. I want you to say this prayer out loud. Say, "Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am today. All of my dreams, all of my sin, everything of me, I give to you. I believe your Son, Jesus Christ, is the Messiah. And from this day forward, I will live my life for him. In Jesus' name, amen." If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, give him a hand clap. We appreciate those. Family of God. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, this is just the beginning. It's not the ending. It's just the beginning of a new journey. You need to stop by the back and get a free Bible and some other information that tells you what you need to do on your next steps in your journey. If you don't have a church home, you need to be plugged into a church home with people who will support you, because it's going to be rough. If you don't plug into a church home, your chances of sticking with your commitment are very slim. And so you need to be around people who are going to support you in your new decision. They're going to love you. Today, how many... We can just keep our heads up looking at each other, because I know there's several in this room who will admit to this. Say, "Pastor, I have a hard time accepting love because I've always felt unlovable in my life." Anybody want to admit to that? Raise your hand. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, it's big. A lot of people suffer with this. Even though we know God loves us, but in our mind and our heart, we have a hard time really believing that God could love us because we don't really feel like we're lovable. Maybe a past issue has happened with a parent or with a spouse, and somehow you've gotten in your mind, you think, "I'm unlovable." Today, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is going to break that bondage in your life. I'm going to prophesy to you right now. I'm saying right now, in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is going to break that in your life. If you want that broken off your mind, off your heart, I want you to stand up right now and raise your hands to heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for those who are standing right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that your Spirit of the living God would come, Lord, right now. You're breaking free in their minds and their hearts. And God, you're allowing that spirit, Lord, of being loved to be broken in their life, God. No longer will they be held captive to a divorce. No longer held captive to an abusive situation. No longer held captive to a bad memory. But Father, right now, through the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray you're releasing in your spirit. Lord, you're releasing a spirit of love. You're releasing a spirit of confidence. You're releasing a spirit, God. They're releasing those things to you with their hands raised. Right now, Father, you're releasing to them, God. You're releasing to them by the power of your Holy Spirit, setting free the bondage of things of the past. And God, you're setting free in our minds, our spirit. God, you have loved us, Lord, when nobody else loved us. You formed us, God, when nobody else formed us. And God, you spoke life into our life. You spoke life. And Father, right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I speak life. I speak life. I speak life. I refuse death, and I speak life in the name of Jesus. God, I speak the power of the Holy Spirit to be released in their life, in their mind, in their heart, in their hands, in their love, no longer to be held in bondage, God. But Father, right now, this is a new day. A new day of walking in freedom of your Holy Spirit. A new day of walking in freedom, God, that we see ourselves as loved by the Father. And it changes the way we worship. It changes the way we love. And it changes who we are. Now I invite everybody to stand to your feet right now and join them. Father, come on, lift your hands right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we receive your love today. Come on, lift your hands to him. Father, we receive your love today. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your love, Father, which cast aside all fear. God, we are called to love people. We are called to love people. And may we, first of all, be open enough to receive your love. And God, may we show the love to others, even when they've done us wrong, even when they've stabbed us in the back, even when they reject our love. God, I pray that you are helping us to love the unlovable. Because, Father, that's how you loved us. So the more we see how you loved us, the more we return, we can reflect who you are and love others. And Father, I pray right now there's a spirit of freedom. God, there's a spirit of love. I pray a blanket of love would be around each person here this morning. May your spirit wrap around them in love. May they feel the love of the Father wrapping your arms around them as we all sing this song together. Come on.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. All of a sudden, I am unaware of these affections eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how full your affections are. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us, how he loves us. Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending the knee, the way of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are in love.
Oh,
with your hands raised right now. Father, I pray over every person in this building. God, I pray that your spirit of love, God, is breaking through right now. God, I feel just a flood of your love coming. God, I feel a flood of your love even filling this room right now. It's called your Holy Spirit. And God, it's flooding through every person here. Father, right now, you're filling our lives. God, you're changing our heart. And God, this morning, we're getting a revelation of just how much you really love us. How much you really care for us. How unconditional your love is. And how beautiful you see each and every one of us. And God, as we sing this chorus through one more time, I praise your spirit. Lord, your spirit of love is raised up in every person here. As we sing it and we declare one more time, let's sing it. Come on, say it. Thank you for your love today, Father. Thank you for your love. It's so much higher than our understanding. It's so much higher than our ways. We're thankful, Father, that we don't earn your love. We're thankful that you'll never love us anymore and you'll never love us any less. We're thankful that your love is unconditional and we choose to love you. We choose to love others. And we choose to go after you with all of our heart, receiving your love. God, there's a new day. So people in this room, is a new day in their heart, new day in their mind, as they're choosing to walk in the love of the Father. No longer a slave to that bad memory. No longer a slave to hurtful words. No longer a slave to self-image. But God, right now, you're setting us free because your love casts aside all fear and brings about perfection. Relationship with the Father. And God, we're thankful, God, for you and your love today. If you will love the Lord today, just put your hands together, begin to praise him. Can you do that? Father, we love you. Hallelujah. Today, before you leave, can you turn around to somebody, give them a big hug? Just give them a big hug. It's a man, it was so good to be with you in church today. God's love is so great in our life. Give a hug. Thank you so much.